This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Chinese archaeologists are to probe the origin of the domestic horse through DNA analysis. A new interpretation board is installed at Ullybury in Gloucester, England. And did music help our human ancestors survive? While an arts project in East Cumbria, England, explores stone circles. In ancient America, ancient mounds give a glimpse into Indian mining operations. An exciting new CD-ROM, The Host of Henlis and the Defeat of Carn Oll, is launched in Wales, and the fate of the Pivine petroglyphs in Nevada is still to be decided. And finally, a blueprint to save an Iron Age hill fort is published in England. Chinese archaeologists are studying DNA samples extracted from the bones unearthed at ancient sites to probe the origin of the domestic horse in China, where it's still a mystery just when and where the horses were first tamed. The DNA research will offer valuable clues on the study of the migration, spread and domestication. A large number of domestic horse remains and carriages have been found at sites in China dating back to the late Shang Dynasty, that's 1600 to 1100 BCE. Horses earlier than the late Shang Dynasty were seldom found in China, and it's difficult for archaeologists to determine whether the few remains of horses earlier than the Shang Dynasty belong to the domestic or the wild horse. In recent years, an increasing number of horse skeletons have been found in the archaeological sites dating back to 4000 BCE in Eurasia and the Siberian grasslands. However, archaeologists are still not clear whether the domestication of horse originated in one region and then spread to other places, or whether wild horses were tamed in different regions separately. The reasons why Ullybury near Dursley in Gloucestershire, England is such an important landmark have been set in stone. A new interpretation board explaining the history, archaeology, ecology and geology of the site has recently been unveiled. The Bury stands at 650 feet high and is topped by an Iron Age hill fort. The Interpretation Board, funded by the Cotswold Conservation Board and Gloucestershire's Archaeology Service, provides information on different aspects of Ullybury, such as the famous ammonite fossils found there and the Iron Age hill fort itself. In Steve Mithen's imagination, the small band of Neanderthals who gathered 50,000 years ago around the caves of Les Moustiers in what is now the Dordogne region of France were butchering carcasses, scraping skins, shaping axe heads, and singing. One of the group may have started it, a rhythmic sound with rising and falling pitch, the others picking it up, indicating their willingness to cooperate both in the moment and in the future. Professor Mithen claims music creates a social rather than a merely individual identity, and that may solve a long-standing mystery. Its ubiquity in human cultures and strong evidence that the brain comes preloaded with musical circuits suggests that music is as much a product of human evolution as our thumbs. But that raises the question of what music is actually for. Studies in neuroscience and anthropology suggest that music did help human ancestors survive, particularly before language. In The Singing Neanderthals, which Harvard University Press is publishing, Professor Mithen weaves those studies into an intriguing argument that language may have been built on the neural underpinnings of music. The fact that listeners hear the same emotion in a given musical score is something a Neanderthal might have exploited. Music can manipulate people's emotional states. Think about religious music or military music and workplace music. Happy people are more cooperative and creative, and by fostering cooperation, the creativity amongst bands of early pre-language human ancestors, music would have given them a survival edge. Manipulating other people's emotions can give you a serious advantage. Music also promotes social bonding, which was crucial when humans were more often the hunted rather than the hunter. Proto-music became a communication system for the expression of emotion and the forging of group identities. Because music has grammar-like qualities, such as recursion, it might have served as even greater function, with music in the brain, early humans had the neural foundation for the development of what most distinguishes us from other animals: symbolic thought and language. That looks like another fascinating read from Steve Mithen there, as ever. The origins of the stone circles of the Eden Valley in East Cumbria, England, are to be explored thanks to a new arts project. Penrith Museum has been awarded a grant of £27,000 from the Arts Council to commission 8 artists to create artworks for its summer exhibition, called Stones, Circles, Landscape and Art, which opens next month. The artwork will reflect upon the stone circles and other prehistoric monuments in the Vale of Eden, such as Castle Rigg, Long Meg and her daughters, which will be seen alongside a collection of artefacts and archaeological research. The landscape is rich in prehistoric sites, and the exhibition will showcase how the work of both artists and archaeologists contributes to our understanding of these remarkable monuments. Last month, the US Department of the Interior announced the designation of several National Historic Landmarks. Amongst them was the Silver Mound Archaeological District in Jackson, Wisconsin. However, Silver Mound isn't actually a mound, and there's not even silver at the site. It does, however, contain a kind of quartzite, which was an important source of raw material for stone tools over a 12,000-year period. Quartzite is more difficult to work than flint, but its cutting edge stands up better to heavy use. Spear points made from Silver Mound's quartzite have been found from North Dakota to Ohio and from Ontario to Missouri. The name Silver Mound was given to the site by early Europeans who assumed that the American Indians mined the precious metal there. For more information about Silver Mound, go to www.uwlax.edu/MVAC/specific sites/silvermound.htm. Pupils from a Pembrokeshire school in Wales donned warrior cloaks at Castle Henlis Iron Age Fort for the official launch of the CD-ROM, The Host of Henlis and the Defeat of Carn Oll, which has been produced in a joint partnership between the National Park Authority and Pembrokeshire County Council. The interactive bilingual CD-ROM has already won the Channel 4 Information and Communication Technology Award at the British Archaeological Awards. Phil Bennett, the Archaeological Heritage Manager for the National Park, worked with the Castle Henlis Site Supervisor Ronwyn Owen to produce the CD-ROM, which includes video clips, worksheets and quizzes, and a noisy cartoon character, Raven. A large part of its audience will be schoolchildren, some 7,000 of whom visit the award-winning site each year. For further information on the CD-ROM, contact Castle Henlis Iron Age Fort on 01239 891319 or email ronwyno@pembrokeshirecoast.org.uk. That was ronwyno, ronwenno, at pembrokeshirecoast.org.uk. The fate of 3 boulders inscribed with ancient Indian rock art that was stolen from the Pivine Mountains in Nevada, USA, is still undecided after federal appeals court overturned the conviction of 2 Nevada men in the theft of the petroglyphs on the grounds that the government had failed to prove the centuries-old artwork had a market value of more than $1,000. The 3 boulders have been stored at a U.S. forest facility in Sparks until officials determine whether they will be returned to their original site. A decision has to be made, but the boulders could be taken back to the original site on Pivine, placed on display elsewhere, or turned over to a local tribe. The petroglyphs depict a human figure, an archer, a sheep, a wheel-like design, and a lizard. Part of Northern Nevada's American Indian heritage was destroyed when the rock art carvings were stolen from Pivine. When you remove them from the original site, you take them out of context. Even if you put them in a warehouse or display them elsewhere, they've now become meaningless. I personally find it astounding that these thieves escaped prosecution on such a technicality. Priceless is obviously less than $1,000 in Nevada. A conservation blueprint to safeguard the future of the historic Castle Hill site in Huddersfield in Yorkshire, England, has been unveiled. Castle Hill is a scheduled ancient monument which has been settled for at least 4,000 years. Experts regard it as one of Yorkshire's most important early Iron Age hill forts. Castle Hill was mired in controversy after developers part built a hotel which did not match the plans approved by Kirtley's council. The authority then took the Tandy partnership to court, and the firm has since demolished the structure. Now, a draft conservation management plan has been produced by Leeds-based consultancy Atkins Heritage. It will eventually guide the future use and development of the site and ensure that guidelines are in place to shape its conservation and any new development. Council Deputy Leader John Smithson confirmed that the conservation plan was a comprehensive document and will have a vital role in guiding the long-term management and future use of Castle Hill, as it is clearly valued and appreciated by local people. The draft conservation plan is available on the Council's website at www.kirklees.gov.uk/Castle Hill Consultation. That was www.kirklees.gov.uk/Castle Hill Consultation. And once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, a library and a guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stonepages. news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again next week.